Father God, we come to you once again in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is always with us. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you put in my heart for the edification of your children. Your word has the power. Lord, your word has the life. Lord, your word gives life to each and every one of us. We live by your word. Let your word manifest today in the lives of your children. Spirit of God, you take control over us. You speak to us. Give us attentive ears to hear your word as you want us to be. In all things, help us to glorify your name. In Jesus' highly exalted name, we offer this prayer. Amen. Please take your seats. I do not know how many of you attend to the prayer of pastor as he closed, whether it is for physical or spiritual. God bless it. He was not knowing what is the message of today. But in spirit, he did mention, let this word may be physical or spiritual. What do you mean that? The title of this message is Five Basic Spiritual Exercise. We are all very much good in physical exercise. How many of you say yes to that? Put your hands. Hello? Don't hesitate. Be bold. We are in his house. How many of us are very much concerned about your physical exercise in these days? Thank you for your honesty. Yes, indeed, it is not wrong. Those of you who are hesitant to lift your hands, for your information, doing a physical exercise is not a sin. So don't be afraid. Be frank. It is, our body is the temple of the living God. We have to take care of it. Nothing wrong in it. At the same time, it is not much more only on physical, but God reminds us about the spiritual exercise as well. Why? It is not a very theological message as I am giving an introduction. It is a very simple, basic, ordinary message for our day-to-day life, what we are following, and sometimes at the time we accept Christ, we must be very much excited and doing this kind of exercises. But in the later time, the course of time, we should have been slow in our exercise. The same way as we start our physical exercise in the beginning, you might suppose if your doctor said something to run for half an hour or 30 minutes or 1 hour, you might do more than that. And the same way in all ways, in all things, we start with very fast and we cross the beyond it. Am I right? Hope I am speaking the truth and the reality, the practicals. But later on, we came down, we settled to the old place. So that should not be. So that is the same way. It should not be very fast, it should not be very slow, and it should be gradual. And see that how we are, our spiritual attitude is, our exercise is. So today I titled this message as a Five Basic Spiritual Exercises. First of all, fasting exercise involves the back extension, that is, sing praises to God. And even the last week tonight, it is a coincidence. The last week tonight was all about the songs, praising and worshiping. What it means that. I apply to you three questions in the beginning as an introduction. What are the three questions? How many of you know that praise and worship or worshiping God or praising God, you will receive miracles and you will be delivered? I ask the first question. How many of you know? That is knowledge. Second question I ask, how many of you believe that God set us free by worship? As you are praising God, singing songs and worshiping God, how many of you believe that God can set you free? And some of you have said it, right? Thirdly, I ask, how many of you had this experience in your personal life through your praising, through your worshiping, when you are in a difficult situation, when you are grieved in your spirit, when you are at that time, when you are led to praise, how many of you had that exercises? But I did not conclude the last portion of it. Those of you who do not have that experience, for you, today is the day God will deliver you. That was the message as the introduction message on Monday Victory Night. But now I start with the same thing. The first exercise is sing praises to God. If you believe, say amen or put your hands together. Be alert. Sing praises to God is the first exercise. Again, I said, singing God is another way, it is obeying God. Why we should sing? It is not optional. All of you who are sitting here, we are come here to praise and worship God. Singing is not optional. We have come here to praise God. You believe, amen to that?
Amen.
Right. So it is not optional means, other side of it is a commandment. God commands us to praise Him. Right? Yes. So that's why I let the word of Christ, where the word says, Colossians 3:16, again, God speaks to us. Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
So worship is to whom? Singing unto? The God. You are not singing for yourself, you are not singing for anybody. All of us are singing unto God. It is a commandment. Let us remember that. Whenever you sing, whether it is at home or here, we sing unto the Lord. That is the same message for our choir. Always, they are exalted, are encouraged. Whenever you sing, don't sing only to the congregation, unto the Lord. Amen? Secondly, when you sing, you are spiritually strengthened for trials. Oftentimes, we think only the singing when we are happy and the times are good. But singing bringing strength for the trial comes out. Acts 16, about even. See, even Brother Cecil, as you were exalting before songs, he did mention about Paul and Silas. See the coincidence and how the Spirit of God, we have only one Spirit. Hello? We have only one Spirit. The same Spirit who has spoken to me, he did speak to Pastor, and also every part of the service is linked. That's why we say that we have one God, one Savior, one Spirit, one faith. Everything is one. Hello?
Amen.
We are all one.
Amen.
In His body. in his house. What is the relationship? What is the relationship? We are all brothers and sisters, children of our only God. Amen? So, even in the difficult situation, singing to God makes the difference. If you are happy, you are singing, that makes don't make much difference. But you are unable to sing, you could not sing, that time you sing, that makes difference. That's why that day I could not share my testimony. There are many, many occasions. One of the things was that. And when I one day, it is a very in the very beginning when I came here before the church started, I was very sick. I could not able to go out. One day, all of a sudden, I was not knowing. I felt like I am feverish, I am headache, and I could not go. And for the dinner, I thought that I would stay back. Then I thought, oh no. Okay, suppose if I lie down on my bed, I will be asleep. So I should not sleep without prayer. So let me pray, then I can sleep. Even food is not necessary, but I will pray. When I knelt down, how can I pray without singing song? I thought of singing. One song, two song, three song. When I sang about three songs, everything disappeared. This is my personal experience. That's why I ask how many of you experienced that. So that day, I felt very free. Everything has gone. Then I continued in my songs and praising, and I prayed, and I went, and I had my dinner, and I came back. I started writing my letter to my mother even till 2 o'clock midnight. That makes the sense. That's why not in here, when you are happy, you can sing praises. Even when you are in trouble, when you are in trial, sing praises. That is the first exercise that will set you free. Sing unto the Lord from your heart. Even don't bother about your voice, whether you have a right voice or tuned voice or not. Forget about it. God doesn't look for your tuning. God looks for your wordings and your heart, not the words alone. Amen? And so that's what Paul and Silas, when you are there in the prison, they sang. That is the one of the evident in the Bible recorded. When they are suffering, they sang and God set them free. Thirdly, when you sing, you build up others. It is not only building up you, you build up others. For that, the example is Ephesians 5:19.
Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
One another. Addressing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So edifying others as well. Even in Colossians chapter 3, 13 to 16, when you read about it, the whole portion, he speaks about the exhortation to sing comes to the healing of bearing with one another. Verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. 13b, putting on love. Verse 14, and being peace as one united body of Christ. Verse 15, and teaching God's word to one another. Verse 16. So, think of the impact on someone who does not know Christ to hear those hundreds of the testimonies, those hundreds of confessions of faith. See, how many of you, I do not know how many of you believe that. When you sing, that is the gospel song. You cannot preach the gospel if there is a restriction. But no one can stop you singing. When you are singing, you are sharing the gospel to the unknown people or those who do not know Christ. So we sing, when we sing indirectly, we are ministering to other, edifying other. That's why that exercise is important. So fourthly, when you're saying you walk, a God-designed pathway to joy. There are many scriptures. Psalm 5:11.
But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you.
Psalm 9 verse 2 says, pay attention to God's word. I am not explaining it. Just believe that this is the proof for you to understand what I am saying is right or not. So Psalm 9 verse 2, I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalm 51 verse 14. Sister.
Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
Psalm 59:16 says,
but I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble.
Even in James 5:13, the last portion says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. So what do we understand here? When you sing, you walk a God-designed pathway to joy. Fifthly, when you sing, you glorify God, as all of you know from the beginning as I was exhorting. So the true obedience, you spiritually strengthened for trial, and you walk a God-designed pathway, building up others. All these things bring glory to God, which is each person's main goal and purpose. What is the first exercise? Singing praises is the foundational to our spiritual well-being. You are not accepting us. Once again I'll say, singing praises is foundational to our spiritual well-being. Amen. Thank you. So in that case, as a summary once again, make a praising God to sing a part of your daily devotion, either by listening to hymns or singing them yourself. Sing while you drive, or even when you walk. When you walk, or any time you can sing, no one can stop you. And make a melody in your heart and sing with grace in your heart. So singing enriches our soul and strengthens our relationship with God. Not only within us, it is unto God. Amen. The second exercise is read the word of God. Reading the word of God. The word of God, it is, the first point is, it is how God reveals his character. Why we should read the word of God? When I was as a youth, I am teaching to the Sunday school children, I was telling about them about a prayer. What is prayer? And prayer is a communication and speaking to God. I said, without prayer, you cannot, without reading the Bible, you cannot pray. And without prayer, you cannot just read the Bible and go. Some people has the habit of, before going out, just open the Bible, read some scripture, and run away outside. Some people, thus they have speak some words and go without the word. I insist them in the first time, read the Bible, important, because God will speak to you. At that time, my knowledge is that. Read the Bible so that God will speak to you. You will hear him. And you have to pray, that is, you telling to God what you want him to know. So that's why reading and praying to be together. That's what my understanding. So in this case, why we should read the word? The word of God reveal about God himself, who our God is. Exodus chapter 34, 6 and 7.
And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed.
Pay attention to this word.
The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.
So in this, when you go to NIV, it also gives some more details about this, how God is, our God. All of you know, I did not tell you, but He is loving, kindness, justice, wisdom, all about Him. So for that, to know about God, reading the Word is important as an exercise. And secondly, it gives instruction for our daily life. It gives, first of all, to know Him. Secondly, for the instruction for us or our daily life. So, 2 Timothy 3:16 again. All the scriptures is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So, for our day-to-day life, it is necessary. So, the Bible is full of practical wisdom for life, especially in the New Testament. The writers wanted their readers to know how to live the way God intended for us. You will find information that will help as you figure out how to be a parent, how to have a successful marriage, how to approach your work, and how to care for the family members, how to forgive, and how to love one another. So these are all the things we learn when you read the Word. Thirdly, it teaches how to pray. You know all about it. Always I used to say, and about how the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. That we read it in Luke 14:1-4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus, just as John taught his disciple, they said, "Can you teach us to pray?" It doesn't mean that they are not knowing how to pray. And that's why I was to tell, it is not a new thing, but still God said, "Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." All seven things are 7 points. Our prayer, it is not a prayer, it is an outline. So our prayer, day-to-day prayer, should consist of all these 7 things. The simple, address to the Father, through the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our prayer. Because of the time, I will move on. So the Gospels are packed with the recollections of Jesus' praying. He prayed basically any situation, any time of the day, anything he wanted to talk to God about, and I saw him praying at all times. So he is the classic example for us to follow, how to pray and what to pray, when to pray, where to pray and all. Fourthly, it is a full of God's promises. So God's word has God's promises. Deuteronomy 31:8 says,
"And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed."
So here, what a great encouraging verse it is. Most of us, we hold on to this. So repeat these promises to your life daily until you memorize it. Every time you feel anxious or worried, remind yourself of these verses. The way you remember God's promises is by memorizing them too. after you have memorized the verse, see if the truth is helps you to resist the anxiety better. Fifthly, it explains the gospel. Most of the people, even though they are Christians, they do not know what is the gospel. What is the gospel here? John 3:16 is the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It is a well-known scripture, but how many of you remember it is the gospel? See, when you think of it, and also, now what is the Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When I was meditating this word on the way, and yes, what John 3:16. God so loved the world. Yes, that is true. And he gave his only and only Son. Yes, that is true. And whoever believes in him shall not perish. True. And have eternal life. That is true. But how it is possible? How do you know about it? How do you know about God? How do you know about his Son? How do you know about salvation? How do you know about eternal life? All things only through the word of God. We know God by his word. We know our Savior who came through his word. We believe it. And we know about eternal life through the word. So how important it is. How important it is. So this revelation, this understanding not came to me as I was sitting and meditating hours together, just on my way to the one of the castle meeting, Dasit, when I'm going. Just I was meditating about this. Then the same thing I shared there. In that case, God can speak to you at any time. Hello? God can speak to you at any time. You can speak to God at any time. Anywhere. Everywhere. Amen? Right. Let's move on to this. So here, as a conclusion, it is how God reveals his character. He gives the instruction to our daily life. He teaches you how to pray, and it is full of God's promises, and it explains the gospel. The word of God will help you to grow in grace and knowledge. That is the second exercise. Hello? Come along with me. Number two? Every day when you eat the five fingers, you should not forget it. Today I'm going to tell all five. Two is over. One is? Second is? Let us move on to three. Spend time in prayer. The power of prayer. It is the communication with God. Prayer is important for every Christian. Prayer is not just a routine. Morning, even sometimes once a day, twice a day, thrice a day. It is not as a medicine. Prayer, you can pray at all times, as I said. It is the heart and soul of our relationship with God. Our prayer increases our relationship with God. Amen? So it is our way of reaching out to him, sharing our hearts and seeking guidance. Prayer is our direct line of communication with God. Just like any relationship, communication is the key. And our connection to God is strengthened through heartfelt conversation with him. When we pray, we open our hearts and minds to share our thoughts, joys, struggles, and desires. How many of you do that? Right. It is not about finding the perfect words, but rather about the sincerity of our heart. Sometimes people may hesitate to pray in public. Oh, how can I pray here? Because of the language, because of the wordings. God is not looking about your word, about your grammar or any other thing. God knows only about your heart. What you want to tell, you just open the rest of the things, He will fill it up. Don't worry about your language, about your wording. What is the right word to put there? No right word, no wrong word. Your heart, God sees. The initiative, your heart is necessary. Your heart is necessary means to develop that relationship with God. You should believe that when you pray, God hears it. That's enough. How many of you believe that God hears your voice? That's good. And prayer is our direct line of communication, as I said. So, conversation with Him. That is our conversation. Conversation is, I need not explain to you. Communication as a conversation. Conversation is not after one person finish talking, other person will speak. No. Side by side. When you speak something, God will tell. God will speak something, you speak. So this is conversation. Prayer should be like that. We should develop that kind of attitude. Some of us having the habit of 20 minutes, 30 minutes praying as a memory scriptures, telling everything God, what you want to do. How many of you have sensed that God interpreted in between or answered your prayers? Without knowing God answered your prayer, you keep on speaking to Him. That is not your prayer, as my understanding. That's my personal. I cannot tell about you. So whenever you speak, God also interpret you. The Spirit of God interpret you. God, the Spirit of God give you promises in between. The Spirit of God reminds you of some songs to praise. So that will be the answer for your prayer. So you should be attentive when you are praying to God. So that way you can develop your relationship as a third exercise, spiritual exercise. And there is a forgiveness from God. Acts 8:22.
Repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you.
Just I read the scripture alone. And secondly, there is a peace from God. John 14:27.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Yes. Psalm 29:11. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in God. So you will have peace when you pray. Peace is promised. So several times I mentioned here, the sign of your Christian is He will live in peace. Amen? Amen? Right. Thirdly, there is a strength from God when you pray. Isaiah 40:31.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Hallelujah. God is our strength and ever-present help in trouble. So all these things we can experience. It goes on and on. So there is an opportunity from God, Colossians 4:3. And there is a boldness from God, Ephesians 6:19-20. And there is a wisdom from God, that is James 1:5-6. And see, all these promises. This many scriptures we give to assure you, if you are faithfully, sincerely, do the exercise of praying every day, you can have all these things. You can have all these things. What are they? You will have peace, you will have strength, you will have an opportunity from God, you have boldness, you have wisdom, and you have healing from God. Amen? So together with the Word, praying is foundational to the spiritual fitness. Praying fervently or eagerly. What are the things? As you read the Word of God, pray for wisdom. Pray daily for forgiveness, strength, opportunity, boldness. As needed, pray for peace and healing. Continue earnestly in prayer, vigilant in the with a thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. So consistent, fervent prayer will strengthen your relationship with God. Believe that? Those who believe and accept, say amen to that.
Amen.
Thank you. The fourth exercise is, the plan was push-ups, that is strengthens. What do you just sense? What will be the fourth one? Oh, it is there? That's right. Fellowship. Fellowship is most important. There is a big story about it. Why the church, a bread of life, is called as a bread of life fellowship, not church. So you should know what is fellowship. Anyhow, we have come across all those things. I will not go back to that. If you wanted to know about it, personally you come. Let me go for the message now. So the importance of the fellowship. Number one is unity in Christ. Unity in Christ is essential when it comes to fellowship among believers. We learn from Scripture that together we make up one body, each of us contributing unique gifts and strength when we work together in harmony. We can overcome obstacles and effectively spread the love of God in our communities. Ephesians 4:3. Ephesians 4:3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The same way, Colossians 3:14 says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So fellowship is most important. In that fellowship, unity in Christ, unity among us. Secondly, encouragement and support. As we engage in fellowship, we become a source of encouragement and support for fellow believers. God calls us to love and uplift one another as we navigate our spiritual journeys together. Through shared experiences, struggles, and victories, we learn how to comfort and challenge each other in the faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:11.
Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing.
Other version says, encourage one another. Comfort one another. That is scriptural. Galatians 6:2.
Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Carry one another's burden and fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 3:13.
But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Amen. It goes on, the Hebrews 3:13 too, and they encourage one another. So you know that even in this year, we know God has not created anybody single. None of us are independent. We are all interdependent. How many of you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
It is not now. It is not in the church. It is not after you married or if you are not single. Even from the creation, God created Adam and Eve together. God has not led Adam to be as a single, independent. No. When God created everything, He said, it is good, it is good, it is good. First day good, second day good, seventh, sixth day good. But it is not good for man to be alone. That is the only thing God said to Himself. It is not good for man to be alone. Then what did He say? What He did? He created Eve to Adam. So it is from the creation. So none of you think that I am alone, I am single, you are not single. When you are in the church, we are together, we need one another. Fellowship is necessary. It is a mandatory, whether you like it or not. It is a fellowship. It is a family. So there is no differences. No differences at all. This bread of life in this country is a classic example for fellowship. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And encourage and support, and also growing together. Thirdly, we should grow together. None of us grow all alone. I'm not going for all the scriptures because of the time, and I will move on. So we need to grow together. That's why the emphasis is all of us to learn the word, study the word, meditate the word, fellowship together. It is not the only one fellow. So if you think that Friday is the only time you can come together, rest of the times are not for you. No, for you, I encourage you, try to meet and deserve to meet as much as possible in fellowship. It is applicable for even the cell meetings. Don't feel that the cell meeting is optional. No, it is a mandatory. It is one of the exercises for you. It is a spiritual exercise. If you believe, say amen to that. Amen. Fellowshipping is the fourth exercise. The fifth one. So fellowship with other Christians strengthens one's faith in God, in Christ. So dear children of God, fellowship is the fourth exercise. Fifthly, doing good works. The role of good works. Faith in action. So faith without action is like a car without the gas. It won't be good anywhere. So our good works demonstrate the faith we profess by acting on our beliefs. So we are not saved by good works, and we are saved for good works. So Ephesians 2 says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. So the fifth exercise is good works. All of us are expected. So the church encourages all of you, all of us are somehow enrolled in any one of the ministry. So in the church, it is open for anyone, those who are a believer, to join any ministry. And time and again he used to say, if you don't serve God in the church or in this country, you are not going to serve God elsewhere. Because this is the church giving all the opportunity for you to serve. So good works is the fifth exercise. So there are many scriptures, and Colossians 1:10 says, thus we do be fruitful to every good works. And also, like 1 Corinthians 15:58, Galatians 6:9-10. So in this case, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. So good works are essential if you are going to reap your spiritual benefit. Once again, as a summary, put it together. Doing good works, share the gospel with the lost, minister to the brethren and the lost in need, whether physical or spiritual, and utilize your resources, your time, your money, your talent to help the poor and the sick. Each day, try to do something that blesses another person. So good works done systematically build up your spiritual endurance. As a conclusion, we have seen that 5 spiritual fitness plans containing these 5 elements. Number 1, sing praises. Number 2, read the word of God. Number 3, spend time in prayer. Sister, that is the slide. Number 4, fellowship with brethren. Number 5, do good works. I hope you will not forget it. Whenever you see your 5 fingers, these 5 things to come together in your mind. I hope you remember that. Let me conclude the word with the promise of this day and this week. Train yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7, last part and 8. I read it from NLT version. This is from NLT version. What is the first thing? Train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good. Nothing is stopping you. No scripture will stop you. If I say about the spiritual fitness, don't forget about or think that physical is not necessary. No. Physical training is good. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. What does it mean? Eternity, eternal life. Your spiritual exercise, if you are good in spiritual exercise, it will not only help you to be healthy in this world, it will be healthy in your eternity. Amen? We thank God for these verses. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. You just heard the wonderful message from the Lord. Let me just exhort you with this verse. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. As you dwell on those 5 basic spiritual exercises, the appeal has gone that you should present your body as a living sacrifice. May God continue to be with us in Jesus' name. It is now time for communion service. As you all know, today is First Friday. And before I go into the service itself, let me just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. It reads, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26 says, For as much as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now let's read down to verse 29. Therefore, verse 27, Therefore, whoever eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, we be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in a worthy manner, eat and drink judgment to himself for discerning the Lord's body. Brethren, as we always remind you, the word communion means sharing. Sharing. The communion service, as we are about to start now, is something that we share commonly together. It is something that makes us as one. Something that brings us together as one. We are sharing in the body and blood of Jesus. That means we are part of the family of God. A family that eat together and at the same table. That is confirmed relationship. Jesus Christ has given us a special way to remember him, to remind us of his death on the cross. Each time we come to the communion table, we are being reminded of his death for our sins. Because Jesus is always here whenever we participate, whenever we come before him for the communion. We may not see him, we may not be looking at him, but the presence of God is here. Therefore, it is much more important for us to come in the right attitude, in the right manner, because, like I said, Jesus is here. Having said that, you need to begin to examine your mind now, examine yourself, whether you are worthy of taking this communion. As you bow down your head, begin to examine yourself. What are those areas that you need to reflect in your life, to reflect on our own life as we compare it to the teaching of Christ? What are those areas that we have moved away from him? Let's begin to talk to ourselves. Let's begin to examine ourselves. Think about what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Remember, we must not partake in unworthy manner. In Matthew 26, Jesus spoke to his disciples about their flesh. He gave them a firm warning. He said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The same warning is for you and me this afternoon. We are to learn how to live for God, understanding the image he has made us. He has made us in that Christ we live within us. Father, in coming to your table this afternoon to partake in the Holy Communion, O Jesus Christ, we remember your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. We lift high your holy name and proclaim your great love as we partake with gratitude in the communion this afternoon. Fill us now again with the power of your Spirit, that we might be bold in our witness to Jesus Christ, till all the world adore his name. Father, we cover the bread and the wine with your blood right now. Sanctify it so that this communion that we are partaking in will firmly establish your work in our heart. As we come before you, all those areas of our life that we have examined ourselves, have mercy upon us, Lord. Let our communion be acceptable to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Our brethren, for those that are worthy of taking it, please quickly come forward. The ushers will guide you to the table. And for those of you, if you don't just come forward because everybody is coming forward, remember to examine yourself. Those who have obeyed Christ in water baptism, please do come forward for the communion. God bless.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This God, this servant king, He came down to earth as man and gave his life so that you and I might have life. Without a spiritual body, any spiritual exercise. He gave his body so that you and I can have life, from where we can start doing all these exercises that we have been exhorted to. So why don't we raise up our hands and thank God, for he came to give us life. The Bible says in him was life, and the life was light to men. Father, thank you for your life that you have given me. I have partaken of your life today once again. I have taken new strength to build your body. I have taken new strength today to build myself in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the strength that you have given from this table today, Lord God. Lord, in this strength, help me, Father. In this strength, help me to praise you, to offer up high praises. Lord, in this strength, O Lord God, help me to grow in your word. Help me to grow in meditating on your word. Help me to grow in feeding from your word. Father, in this strength, O Lord God, help me to grow in prayer. May I seek you every moment of my life, O Lord God. Father, may I seek to be in fellowship with you, in communion with you always, O Lord God, through the strength that you have given. Father, through this strength, help me to grow in fellowship, in strengthening one another just as you have called us to. Lord, help us to strengthen one another. And in this strength, O Lord God, help me to reflect you in all my doings. In all my works, O Lord God, may you be glorified. Father, Lord, you came, O Lord God, and you shed your blood, your life, O Lord God. That is what we have partaken of today. The life of a soul is in its blood, you said, O Lord God, and that is what we have taken of today. Father, may your life be reflected in these weak vessels of ours, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity once again. Father, thank you for your healing that you have poured out, your deliverance that you have poured out, O Lord God, and thank you for the paths that you have prepared for us ahead. Help us to walk in the light, just as you are in the light, O Lord God, and help us to shine your light to this world around us, for that is what you have called us into, to shine your marvelous light into this world. Help us to be, O Lord God, messengers of your gospel. For it's in Jesus' name that we have asked and we have prayed. Amen and amen. Let's share the grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's strength.